is the moment fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
And here we go!
Don't call it a comeback!
Welcome to Knockout Radio.
It is the one we have waited our entire lives for.
A podcast for fans,
by fans,
with fans. Mixed martial arts news and opinions from a part-time fighter.
Because I'm a karate man. Karate man rules on the inside.
And a part-time radio clown.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown and amuse you?
Knockout MMA Radio. With your hosts, Arthur and Kevo.
Welcome to Knockout MMA Radio. I am Arthur, this is Kevo, and this is your most passionate for the fans, by fans, with fans, MMA podcast. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. What's going on? What you been up to?
I had a pretty good weekend. I actually went to see Predators, and I automatically gave it 10 stars as soon as I saw Oleg Taktarov was in it.
Really? How was it? Yeah, he was in it. How was? How are you doing it?
He was great, man. Anytime Oleg Taktarov is in a movie, I want to see him do one of his sambo, you know, moves like he used to do back in the UFC and Pride. But he didn't do anything. He didn't do a rear naked choke, like none of that stuff. So I was actually kind of disappointed. But the movie was great. I highly recommend it to anybody who is a fan of the original. And they even mention the original movie, like they refer to it at one point. Pretty cool overall. I have to give it about 7.5 stars out of 10 for an action movie. Top notch.
Not bad. A movie that came out recently, but I just saw it for the first time, was Public Enemy with Christian Bale and Johnny Depp in it.
Yeah, I saw that one as well.
That's got Don Fry in it.
It does.
It does, and I didn't know that going in, and I just saw that mustache and recognized that mustache anywhere.
Ding, ding, ding. I know that guy.
Like, son of a bitch, that's Don Fry. My roommate's like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it. Your roommate's clearly not an MMA fan.
No, not even a... I mean, he... Honestly, at a lot of my friends, I'm pretty much the fan. I'm filling everybody else in. I'm letting everybody else know what's going on. They like to watch it, but they don't follow it as religiously as I do, because they all have families and such.
Right. They're losers, basically, is what you're saying.
Or maybe I'm the loser, or something. I don't know.
No.
I'm comfortable in what I'm doing, though.
Totally. I'm the same way. Usually when we watch events with some of my friends, they're just kind of watching it, and I'm giving, like, the whole background story and everybody. I'm like, oh, you have no idea who this guy is. He defeated this fighter 3 months ago via the crazy submission, blah, 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 and he trains with, like, all these guys, and they're just looking at me like, dude, we don't care.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is at my parties, too. I'll usually end up... Just everybody will be in my living room, and I'll just be kind of outside the living room, close to where the beer is, and just kind of park it there and watch the fights and just make little minor observations. Otherwise, I'll just sit there and talk the entire fucking time.
And it was funny. When I was going to see the movie on Friday night, I went with a buddy of mine who just recently got into MMA, and he finally checked out the podcast after 34 episodes, and he really loved it. He said that he was cleaning or organizing his room while he was listening to the show, and he said that our voices and our attitude and everything makes the time fly by, which I think was pretty cool, especially since the last episode was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I just wouldn't shut up. I apologize for that hour and a half broadcast. We'll say that's my fault.
No, it's actually John Galogui's fault. I'm also pronouncing his name right for the first time ever.
Did you practice that?
Yes, I stood in front of a mirror for like an hour this morning trying to get it right. Galogui. There we go.
Nice. Yeah, that's the kind of dedication it takes. You got to sit there and practice those things.
I mean, his name is complicated. I used to say it's Googly, and then it was Gologly, and now it's Gologly. So I'm very proud of myself.
Good job. I just stick with Johnny Hustle.
Johnny Hustle. That's an easy one.
So, all right. So he liked the podcast, but apparently some other guys weren't some big fans. Apparently you had a run-in on the internet.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the show last week, we mentioned all the support we get from the forums. And before I jump into the forum that wasn't really supporting us so much, I want to give a big shout-out to Bloodstained Lane from Team Takeover, who was on our show about a week ago. And he actually started his own forum. It's got a decent amount of members. It's you guys could, if you like them, if you like the video, how over the top they are, they're actually a lot more subdued on the forums, and we have a lot of intelligent discussions. And their forum is found at teamtakeover.forum-express.com. You guys can go over there, check it out. I'm on there. I'm having a lot of back and forth in the training section. They have a cool training blog and part of the forum where everybody's talking about catch wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and stuff like that, so it's pretty interesting. But another forum we mentioned, like I said, at the end of the last episode was MMASpot.net. And I like the forum. I think there's a lot of cool, intelligent guys on there. So after we did last episode, I posted it up there, and I guess the title of the thread was a little over the top, too much for them, because I called it Knockout MMA Podcast, episode 34, Sodomy, Funky Urine, and Why MMA Spot Hates Us. Apparently, it turned into a huge debate and back and forth, cursing each other out and stuff like that. And the one went on right now, it's on page 6, and it had about 600 views and about 50 replies, which I think is longer than just about any other thread on the entire forum, aside from the live discussions that you know, every forum has for live events. So it was pretty damn interesting. I know you looked it over. What'd you think?
I feel like you were getting jumped and I didn't have your back.
That's how I felt too, man. I was like thinking, where's
that? I should be there, you know, come running in there swinging a baseball bat, you know? Like I'm 16 and we're behind the bowling alley again just throwing down.
That's exactly how I felt. I'm glad we're on the same page, at least the way we think and feel, even though you didn't have my back.
I would have if I had known it. If I had known that you were getting verbally jumped by these hooligans at the spot.
Well, I mean, I think the spot is a cool place. I also felt like I was getting jumped a little bit because one of the things I mentioned was that I personally like the news. I'm the main news.com is a forum I've been on for a very long time. I think, you know, they were talking about how there's a lot of idiots in that forum, but I think every forum has idiots, especially when you're a big forum. If you're a forum that has, you know, 10, 20, 30 new members every single day, not everybody's going to be as an intelligent of an MMA fan and know fights from 20 years ago like me, you know, you and I and everybody on the spot apparently does. So, you know, I mentioned that's a good forum. I also mentioned MMA Crypt, and somebody replied, well, I don't know what MMA Crypt is, but I'm sure they suck just as much as the news. So I think I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. If you don't know a forum that, you know, I'm mentioning, don't jump to conclusions and say it's retarded or it's stupid. That makes you sound very elitist. And, you know, unless you're on MMA Spot, you know, basically we don't care about you. That's kind of how this particular poster came off.
And all, I mean, the spot's got, they got good people. A lot of them started off at news. I guess I started out checking out news right after they had that big split. I mean, they got good people on the spot. Palma, he's really into amateur wrestling, which is cool. He kind of brings that perspective.
Palma's actually very cool. Me and him had a back and forth in a grappling forum. He's a very cool guy. There's a couple other guys. Even Harlem, that's a, you know, he's a funny dude from news. He posts a lot over there. And, you know, Palma's coming out to New York sometime soon. I really hope I get to see him because he wants to check out Marcel Garcia's academy. So I hope I get to meet him and, you know, have a good time. And I don't have anything against almost anybody on the forum. A couple of people rub me the wrong way, and I rub them the wrong way, so it's mutual. But
giggity.
Giggity.
That's, yeah. I guess that's a little bit of that immaturity they were talking about.
Yeah, they were talking about how we're immature and shock radio. The
shock
whole,
jocks.
Shock jocks, yeah. They don't quite cut it for the intellectual crowd. But then again, you know what? Everybody loves Howard Stern, so I call bullshit.
You know, who doesn't like a fart joke every once in a while?
Dude, everybody likes a fart joke.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, the spot's cool. I got nothing against them. They got, like I said, they got a lot of good posters there. I post on news. It's not bad. I mean, I have an account with Spot. They're good people. I have another problem. And honestly, if they don't like the show, that's cool. If it's not for them, it's not for them. I have no problem with that. Because at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is we're all MMA fans, man. We all like watching the same stuff. We all have different opinions on it, but hey, it's not a big deal. We're just all fans when it, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's what matters. And I think the funniest thing about this whole thread was that, like I said before on the last show, episode 33, I also posted up on the spot, and we got about 30 listens, and only one person posted in the thread. Three people sent me a private message saying that, you know, cool show, keep it up. And then this time, there's 600 views, 50 replies. Not a single person listened to the show. I think that's the funniest part.
I don't know, man. Like that, like I said, they're good people. If they listen, I wonder how many people are going to listen this time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to make a thread for this show, as I do on every website, every forum that I'm on. And I'm not gonna title it, you know, all silly and sarcastic. I'm just gonna be very straight up. Hey, we mentioned MMA spot, and then we talk about all these other things. And speaking of the things we want to talk about, what do we have this weekend? I think we had one of the biggest MMA weekends in recent memory. There was the big cards, of course, Dream 15 and Impact FC that we mentioned on the last show over there in Australia. There was a couple of other cards all throughout the country. We're going to get into them. We have, you know what? Let's talk Sherdog. I love Sherdog. You like Sherdog?
Not particularly.
Honestly, I started using this on Twitter, and I started calling them Zufa Dog.
Yeah?
And, like Anthony Bloodstained Lane did on the show.
Yeah.
And that really took off. Everybody's tweeting me, hey, did you hear about this article on Zufa Dog? So one of the articles somebody sent me was, is Japanese MMA still relevant? And I'm pretty sure this was written by Rosen, who is, yes, it is. It was written by Jake Rosen. And it's funny because he also puts his email right next to his name, so I'm going to have to email him and with a link to the podcast. And we'll see what he says about that. But, June 15 was a big card. And he just goes on to basically shit on everything that's Japanese MMA. And some of the funny things, I'm just going to read the first paragraph and just take one point out of it and just reply to that because I don't read the whole article. And whoever's interested, we're going to put it up on knockout.com and you guys can just click, you know, the link and go read it and see what you guys really think about it. Here's something interesting he said. He talks about, you know, the whole big debate back when Pride was around about Pride fighters versus UFC fighters and how Pride fighters everybody thought would be better. Then he says, we never really got much of an answer. All the major players came to the States after their prime. Okay, you have Anderson Silva, who's coming from Pride, who absolutely wrecked the middleweight division. Then you have guys like Shogun, who entered the division, you know, had a lackluster performance against Forrest Griffin, comes back, beats Mark Coleman, knocks out Chuck Liddell, then fights for the belt, and the second time around, wins the belt. Then you have guys like, you know, Krokop is obviously past his prime, and so is Nogueira in a sense. I mean, his next fight against Frank Mir, as it's supposed to be pronounced, is going to show people a lot. Then you have Wanderlei Silva, weight division. I mean, he's only had one fight against Bisping, but he's looked very impressive. So how can you say everybody that came over to the UFC when two of their champions are from Pride, former Pride champions? I mean, not Anderson Silva, but Shogun was the Grand Prix champion back in 2005. Do you know what he's doing with articles like this? He's erasing history. And that's something I'm very much against, because that's something that UFC is doing with Best of Pride, Pride over there on Spike TV. They're never going to show a Fedor Emelianenko fight. People are not even going to know Fedor Emelianenko fought in Pride, unless you're a hardcore fan. This is another example of that. People are not even going to remember that Shogun Hua was a Pride Grand Prix champion. People are not going to remember that Anderson Silva became big over there in Pride. And that's something that's very fucked up, and shame on Jake Rosen. He's supposed to be a journalist, and this is just a big pile of garbage.
He had a few, you know, points. I don't think it's dead over in Japan, but I do think it's on its, like, you know, standing eight count. I believe Japanese MMA is important for the overall worldwide MMA. I think it's important to have good MMA in Japan. it's just right now they're just getting dominated by Americans, and I think a lot of that has to do with their training camps.
I still say once, if this happens, if Gilbert Melendez goes to Japan and fights Shinya Yoki under Japanese rules, rather, because there's more than one rule, in the ring, he is going down.
I don't believe that, man. I really don't think he can beat Gilbert Melendez, even in a ring.
It's not about the ring, man. Shinya Yoki did not have the ferociousness. He didn't have his trips or, you know, pulling guard like he did against Kawajiri. We're going to talk about that when we get to Dream 15 recap. But I think it's going to happen, and there's only one way to find out. Hopefully it happens, and I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, so what do you say we take a little musical break and then jump into recapping our awesome MMA weekend?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, listen, this week I'm going to let you pick a song. What do you want to play for a little musical break?
I'm going to tell you what. There's a concert I want to go to. It's right around my birthday down in Boca. Slightly Stupid. How about we play Slightly Stupid 2 a.m.?
Okay, let's do it. You guys enjoy. This is for Kevo, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Knockout with the Q MMA Radio / Podcast, and we had a big MMA weekend, like we mentioned. First and foremost, I want to jump into XFC. I guess that stands for Extreme Fighting Championships 11, which took place in Tampa, Florida. That Kevo actually was supposed to tell me about since he's from Florida, but I had to find out on my own. So thanks a lot.
I had no idea it even existed.
You are a bad MMA fan, sir.
I am not plugged into the local MMA scene because everything in MMA and Florida is on the West Coast over on Tampa and the Fort Myers area.
Yeah, that's exactly where this event took place. And it had some notable fighters. We had WEC's Mika Miller who is Cole Miller's younger brother, and he got him back on the winning trail with an impressive knockout of Bruce Conners 2 minutes into the very first round, and he actually got the KO of the night bonus. I guess this promotion also has one of those KO of the night, submission of the night type of deals. So always like Mika Miller, and I'm a huge Cole Miller fan, so good stuff. Then we also have my favorite female fighter of all time, Kim the Flashlight Couture, fighting Mariana Kayfet. Now, I call her a flashlight or the flashlight because it's a pun on those sex toys. If you're you know, picking up what I'm putting down.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What flashlight sex toy?
You clearly don't watch that much porn, or maybe I watch too much porn. There's this flashlight that's basically like a pocket pussy. And since I made that whole joke about Randy Couture keeping his dick warm inside of her, I'm now going to call her a pocket pussy. But I have to do it in a nice way, so I'm going to call her a flashlight.
That's a bit of a reach.
Screw your man, he's genius. Okay, fine. It is a little bit of a reach. But all my jokes happen while I'm under the influence or drunk. So I kind of like ponder about them for a while, and then like, you know, I get to a conclusion. I'm like, holy shit, I struggled. But then see, I tried on the podcast, and that people are out there like scratching their heads. They're like, what the hell is this kid talking about?
You know what though? You had the balls to try it. So kudos to you.
Awesome. So she loses to a newcomer and falls to 2-3. Mariana Kayfet, this girl has been training with American Kickboxing Academy down in Florida and then up in Maine, and she's looked very impressive. This is her first fight, and she was able to submit Kim Couture in the first round via triangle choke. Now, here's something interesting. Triangle chokes are not as impressive if you're a chick, because if you're a dude, you basically make the other guy tap with his face in your groin. But if you're a girl, it doesn't have that, you know, like, risque factor to it.
Well, I mean, it's another chick, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, if you're, I mean, that kind of thing.
It could be cool, because Mariana Kayfet is actually very pretty, and Kim Couture is really not. So I wasn't turned on, personally. Now, let's say if that was Gina Carano, I'd be very turned on, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, well, that's Gina Carano.
Yeah, she's just gorgeous.
That's my future ex-wife right there.
My future ex-wife?
Yeah, I can't imagine her sticking around too long.
Right. As soon as you start getting gray hair and a nice big beer belly, she's going to take off running with the kids and the dog.
Yeah. That's how the scenario always plays out in my head.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm just a broken old man in my recliner, just beer, just completely let it all go, and then I just business in a shotgun. What?
Suspenders?
Yeah, suspenders.
Like a straw hat? Wait, you're not a farmer. I mean, like, you're in Florida, but it's not like Nebraska or Iowa.
No, there's no farming around here. Well, I mean, not like...
No, hey, there is farms down there. Don't kid our foreign listeners or our Canadian listeners. They might think Florida is that exotic.
Yeah, just nothing but rednecks and alligators down here.
Basically, and pickup trucks.
And pickup trucks, definitely. Is that how you New Yorkers really think of Florida?
We actually think of Florida as beaches and old people.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
That's more like it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, traffic, so lots of traffic.
Not as much as New York, man, because you guys are at least spread out. We're kind of like very compact.
All up on that island, just like rats.
Well, yeah, all the boroughs in New York are islands except the Bronx, which is kind of like on mainland. But Manhattan is obviously surrounded all by water, so is Staten Island. And then Brooklyn and Queens is on Long Island, so we're just like a much bigger island. But yeah, basically everything is an island. And here's the, speaking of, oh, now we're talking about East Coast, let's segue over to the West Coast, to Lemoore, California, the place of Tachi Palace fights this past July 9th. My favorite soon-to-be inmate, War Machine, fought on the card and got choked out by John Alessio. And War Machine tweeted actually something funny over there on Twitter. He said that, "I went out like a man, at least I didn't tap." doesn't really make much of a difference if you tap or you get choked out. Either way, sir, you fell asleep at your own going away party, and that's not a good way to go to prison, you know, getting choked out by somebody. See, if he beat the living crap out of Alessio, I think there would be a slightly smaller chance of him getting his ass kicked in prison. But now I think he comes in and somebody beats the crap out of him in jail.
Do you think he gets shanked in jail?
Well, he is a douche, so I think the possibilities are highly likely. But then again, he is an MMA fighter. I'm not going to mention the fact that he's a porn star also, because that's not going to really help him much.
Or it might. I don't know.
Well, I mean, unless he changes his sexual orientation over there. But I think, you know what it is? He is doing a year. I think, I don't know what the conditions, you know, whether or not he can get a parole or anything, but somehow I don't see him being very uncomfortable in jail and actually being there for a whole year. I mean, he's not like an A-list MMA fighter or anything, but I'm pretty sure he's got enough money to have a nice cell, have a cell phone, maybe, you know, all those cool things you can have in jail to make your stay a little bit more pleasant.
Pack of smokes, extra piece of cornbread in the morning. I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't smoke, I'm sure, as an MMA fighter, but this is a good time as any to start picking
up. Yeah, well, cigarettes. If you don't smoke, then you trade the smokes, you know, so you don't get, you know, raped or anything.
Right, right. So, you know, you get soap on the rope privileges.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And a couple of other notables at this card. There was Rob McCullough, Razor Rob McCullough, defeating Isaac De Jesus via TKO punches in the first round. And congratulations to Rob McCullough, always been a big fan. Now, your favorite tough alum wins the lightweight title. Gabe Rudiger, that's right, Gabe Rudiger, 17-5, defeats Lenny Lovato, 8-1, via TKO punches, round 1, 325. I got to tell you, you know, we always made fun of Gabe, especially when he was training Paris Hilton, and especially because up until that point, nobody had any idea what the hell happened to him, but he's back, and now apparently he's Attachi Palace Fights lightweight champion. What do you think about that?
Good for him. Didn't you remember the story we had a couple weeks back where he was training Paris Hilton in kickboxing?
Right, of course, with the pink gloves that she had on. That was so cute.
Yep, and, you know, good for him, man. He fought in the UFC before the Ultimate Fighter. He had a good fight with Melvin Gillard. He hung tough in that fight before he got knocked out with a liver kick. I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if we'll ever see him in the UFC again. You know, if he can string together enough wins to be allowed back in. Because, man, he didn't look good on the Ultimate Fighter. That didn't do anything for his career at all.
No, he looked like absolute shit. The Melvin Gillard fight, I mean, Melvin Gillard is just a very tough guy. But ever since that fight in the UFC, he is 7-2. So that's actually not a bad record whatsoever. 17-5 is not bad at all. Granted, he hasn't been fighting the toughest guys, so I don't think he'll really make a run in the UFC stacked lightweight division, but maybe Strikeforce, maybe Japan, maybe Dream, maybe he'll resurrect Japanese MMA with his presence and cake. Gotta love cake. For those of you who don't know, that was his shtick on the Ultimate Fighter because he couldn't make weight, so we're gonna make fun of him for being fat.
What kind of cake? Like, was it like a birthday cake? Or did he just order cake? Just like, get me a cake.
I think he went to like Carvel, and you know they had those frozen Baskin-Robbins cake. I think he got one of those and brought it back to the house, and everybody was like, dude, you know you have to fight and make weight. He's like, nope, I'm okay, I'm just going to eat cake. That way he doesn't make weight and loses.
I bet it said happy birthday on the top of it.
Happy birthday, Gabe.
Happy birthday, Gabe. I mean, you know, that's a birthday cake, man. That puts you in a good mood right there. That puts you in the right frame of mind going into a fight. Keep stay positive.
See, if I was on tough, you know what I would do? I would get my opponent a birthday cake with his name on it as a, you know, nice gesture so he doesn't kick my ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'd be nice of you, you know?
Yeah, and then we had a couple of other smaller level organization winners. We had Chase Gormley. And not Chase Gormley, I'm sorry. We had Mike Whitehead defeating Chase Gormley at, where is this? At IFC Extreme Challenge. See, I saw IFC and immediately I thought Independent Film Channel, but I don't think that was it at Mount Pleasant, Michigan, United States of America. Mike Whitehead was, what was his whole thing? He was, like, wanted for rape or something recently, I remember hearing.
Yeah, for sexual assault and aggravated battery, something.
Right. So
okay? Sexual assault and drug charges.
Okay, so, wow, that's very interesting. I mean, before this fight, he was in Strikeforce fighting King Mo. So, I don't understand, does this mean he's out of Strikeforce, or because Strikeforce is such a retarded, for the lack of a better word, promotion that they don't even keep tracks of their own fighters and what the hell it is they're doing?
I think just with the infrequency that they have of events, they probably just let them have the option to fight in little smaller promotions to keep making money.
Dude, I don't even think they know that he fought. Like, honestly, like, I don't think they know where Fader is right now, Overeem. I don't think they know anybody, like, what anybody's doing. Except, you know, today I think they had their press conference for Strikeforce Houston. And I think the King Mola Wall, KJ Nunes, and Jorge Gurgel were with them. Or George Gurgel, as he likes to be called. I think other than the guys, they're actually surrounding Scott Coker. They have no idea where they are.
It's kind of like that scene in Armageddon when they all get off the oil rig and they just spread across the country and they got to send helicopters and shit out to go find them.
Yeah, that was actually, I think, the best scene from that whole movie.
Yeah, pretty much. The only humor I ever got out of it.
And another big winner, we had Jeremy Horn beating Sean Salmon at the same event at IFC Extreme Challenge. I just saw this now. I got to say, to this day, Jeremy Horn is probably one of my favorite fighters. The guy has over 100 fights. Who else could say that?
Shoney Carter is the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah, but Shoney Carter has a much more of a losing record. I mean, this guy is 85-19. And Sean Salmon is actually a veteran of the sport as well. It's not like he's some pushover with a 6-1 record or anything.
No, he was in the only time I ever saw him in the UFC was when he got head kicked by Rashad Evans down in Miami.
Yeah, that was awesome. But, I mean, you have to like Jeremy Horn. This guy has fought bigger guys, smaller guys, doesn't matter. He's always game, and I don't know. I just love my Pat Miletic fighters.
I got you, man.
And then, so, yeah, I guess that's it for the small promotions. Let's move on to Impact FC from the land down under with Crocodile Dundee and Kangaroo Jack and all those fine characters. Oh, and it's Tasmanian Devil. That's always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the best character to come out of Australia.
Oh, Australia. I mean, Kangaroo Jack was pretty cool.
It was all right. I mean, if you're into talking kangaroos.
Dude, well, that was actually, you haven't seen the movie, man. That segment was in a dream. The kangaroo never actually spoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then, they should have just advertised it like that. I might have actually seen it.
Yeah, see, that was a dream. That movie was funny. It was with the fat guy, the kid who used to be fat and became a model, whatever his name is, from Stand By Me.
Jerry O'Connell?
Yes, that's his name. I could never remember his name for some reason. Neither, I can't remember the black guy's name either.
Anthony Anderson?
Yeah, I knew he had like two first names. You're very good at this name stuff. I suck. I just remember MMA fighters.
I'm a whiz at nameology.
You're very, very good. So, yeah, Impact FC, we had Walter about that. This was actually the first fight of the night, even though it was one of the bigger names on the card. It was Cara Parisian, or as Kevo likes to say, Parisian, versus Ben Mortimer, and submission, rear naked choke, 4-18 of the second round. Congratulations to Karo Rat, which is Cara's full Armenian name. He really needed a win. I'm sure, I really hope, rather, he got some money for this fight because, you know, his family's struggling and everything.
Yeah, so, he still has, I was reading an article, he still hasn't paid that money for his fine for California for testing positive for drugs.
Well, painkillers, which I don't think he should be fined for. But, yeah, he still didn't pay that, so I hope this puts him, back in the winning ways after that no contest again. Dong Hyun Kim, the stun gun. So I hope he makes it back. I hope he gets a couple of bigger name opponents, wins few fights. I still, for some reason, have faith in this kid. And, well, he's not even a kid anymore. He's pretty much a grown man at this point. And I still think he could make waves in the welterweight division, me personally.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up setting up a Paul Daly fight with Cairo, and I think that'll be a great fight.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that's actually going to show us a lot where Cairo is at this point in his career. And Paul Daly, I mean, against grapplers, he's never done very well. So, I mean, if he has like, some new tricks up his sleeve, I guess we're going to see them. But I got to tell you, I'm not a fan ever since that sucker punch that he delivered to Josh Koscheck. No matter how much Josh Koscheck was annoying him or talking shit in his ear, that's just very unprofessional. That's just awful.
Yeah, you can't do that. And I think Dana White was justified in cutting him immediately. But I think Cairo can work his way back into the UFC. If he puts a couple wins together, shows Dana White that he's really got his shit together, I think they'll let him back in. They'll give him another chance.
Yeah, I think if he shows up to fights, if his system is clear of any prescription drugs and all that stuff, if he comes in shape and, you know, makes weight every time, maybe two more wins and he's back in the UFC. So I'm excited to see him. The next few fights, basically people I don't really know. It's a bunch of Australians. No disrespect, I just don't know who these guys are. But I do know who George Soteropoulos is, so you guys have to forgive me. Then the fifth fight of the evening was another welterweight bout between Brian Ebersole, who's an American fighter, and he's making a name for himself. And he actually defeats Mr. Dragon Ball's Jiu-Jitsu, Carlos Nguyen. And I'm a huge Carlos Nguyen fan. His fights against Henzo Gracie and Pride were legendary. He really needs to retire, like, desperately.
Yeah, I think his time's gone. When the UFC isn't calling you to come fight on one of their Montreal cards as a late fill-in, that's not saying a lot for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Carlos. He's done some great stuff for the sport, but you're just hurting your own legacy if you're just sticking around for no reason. I mean, his payday could not have been that big to, you know, travel 20 hours to get to Australia and then to lose by unanimous decision. I mean, I really hope this is a wake-up call for him. He goes home either to Japan or to Canada and just trains younger fighters. I mean, he has a lot of experience to pass on to the younger generation, and I personally would love to train under him if I was an MMA fighter.
I agree, man. He's former UFC welterweight champion.
Yeah, I mean, he's just done about everything. He defeated Gracie's, he became a UFC champ. It's time to hang him up. The next fight on that card was a light heavyweight bout between Sokoju and Joaquin Ferreira. Sokoju gets back to winning ways. TKO punches 120 in the very first round. I've actually seen this fight. Sokoju looked impressive. I mean, he does have good hands, and he showed in this fight. Hopefully, we'll never have to see him in the UFC again. But putting on fights in Impact FC and over there in Dream, I'm a huge fan for that. Let's see more of him in these quote-unquote freak show marquee fights.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some impressive ground and pound, man. He really does. But he's a can crusher, man. I don't see him beating anybody of relevance.
Exactly. But, you know, those can crushing moments are, in Japan, people love to see that. So if he goes over to Japan and just crushes a bunch of Japanese fighters, I think people are going to be into it. And the Japanese audience seems to really love black fighters for whatever reason. I mean, they gave Bob Sapp a record deal. We played his hip-hop song a few weeks ago on one of the podcasts. So, yeah, I think he would make a nice, Japan rather, would make a nice home for Sokoju.
Yeah. You know what? I could see him fighting Keith Jardine somewhere in like Dream. I think that'd be an interesting fight.
I think, you know what? I think that would be a great fight because you have both guys who are, I mean, Sokoju is not as unorthodox, quote unquote, as Keith Jardine, but Sokoju is a black belt in judo who does have heavy hands. And then you have Jardine, who's got a very weird striking style, who's not a bad grappler himself. So I would actually be very curious, genuinely, to see how that would play out. So maybe me and you need to start a promotion and put on fights like this. We could call it Knockout Fighting Championships. Except I just realized the problem with that. That would mean our promotion would be KFC. So
you're not going to let us do that. That's not going to work out.
That is not going to work out whatsoever. How about the Knockout Challenge?
Just KC?
I mean, we don't have to, like, you know, shorten it. It could just be, like, the Knockout Challenge. Like, Pride, it was never, like, nobody called Pride PFC. It was just Pride Fighting Championships. Pride FC, or just Pride.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this. We'll come up with something good.
Yeah, you didn't sound excited at either one of those suggestions. So I'm just
I just think we can do better. I just don't think we've hit it yet.
Yeah, I'm one of those underachievers. I'll just settle for anything. I was like, no, damn it, it's got to be perfect. How's this for a logo? Put an MMA glove on that thing. Damn you. You got to go back to the drawing board.
That would have been awesome, though.
I know, we'll get it. Don't worry, man. It's not over until we got an MMA glove on there.
That's right.
So then we have a heavyweight bout between Jeff Monson and God knows who. And, of course, Jeff Monson wins this one by unanimous decision because Jeff Monson refuses to fight good fighters and decent competition.
He said that he was going to drop down to 205. He said he's still working on that.
Yeah, okay, good luck to that. With that, rather. Don't see that happening. I mean, he fights pretty decent guys, but then, like, you know, he fights a guy like Jimmy Ombres. That's the guy who was to cover Gio recently. And the only impressive fight that I've ever seen him win in the last few years, I mean, besides Rico Rodriguez, he beat Sergey Karatanov, who's clearly past his prime. And then, you know, he fought Pedro Hizo and lost to him. And then he has losses to guys like Travis Wall. And then he beats up guys that on Sherdog, their records are like, there's no pictures of them, there's like a big question mark. And their record is like 11-80. So,
they've never even fought in front of a crowd of more than like 1,000 people.
Exactly, like nobody has pictures of them. Like, remember like Beaver?
That was, yeah, I think that's just some bullshit that somebody wasn't paying attention, they just put it up there.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go to Sherdog.com or actually Google this, Beaver, quotation marks, Beaver again, Beaver. So it's supposedly that fighter that, actually, who did he fight, Chris Lytle or something?
Yeah, according to that, his only fight was against Chris Lytle. So apparently, yeah, at some point, Chris Lytle beat the shit out of a beaver.
Of a triple beaver. So, see, this is another reason Sherdog, I guess, sucks. Because they actually let shit like that happen. Putting up fighters whose name are like, you know, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to put my name as a fighter with a record of like 11-0 and see how long it takes for people to realize that it's a bunch of bullshit.
I like that. Are you going to like create, and then you're going to create some more pages of fighters that you beat?
Yeah, well, I have to. So there's like, you know, it's verifiable. I'm gonna put like your name. I'm gonna start mixing fighters' names up. I'm gonna put something like Josh Monson.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, we'll try it and see what happens. And speaking of Josh, we have Josh Burnett defeating Geronimo Dos Santos via TKO punches at 235 in the very first round. I mean, nobody's really heard of Geronimo Dos Santos. Everybody heard of Josh Burnett. Did you really think this was going to go any other way than the way it did?
Other than some softcore sodomy, it went pretty much how I thought it was going to.
Yeah, there's actually no sodomy, unfortunately.
No, I'm sure Geronimo was happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure so, too. I think anybody going up against a big guy like Josh Burnett would be happy to not get sodomized. That's it? That's all the sodomy jokes we got?
Oh, I mean, I thought we were trying to, you know, be a little bit more mature. I mean, we can bring the sodomy jokes all day. We could have a show just about sodomy.
Right, but then MMAspot.net is going to, you know, go on another rant about how we're silly and immature or something.
And they would be completely right.
They would.
I mean, they haven't said anything that I disagree with. Don't get me wrong. I agree with everything they're saying.
Right, I mean, we are immature, but shock, jock, strategies work. I just want to put that out there one more time. And, I mean, we kind of laugh at all these fart jokes and everything. So, but hey, man, at least we're honest about it, and we're not pretentious.
No, not even. I mean, we take this show a little bit less serious than you think we do, but probably not as much as we should.
Yeah. I have to agree. But, hey, there's always room for improvements. And if they didn't tell us we were being immature, I would have never guessed.
Yeah. Did they even listen to the show?
No, like I said, I think, like, episode 33, we got about 30 listens, and then episode Episode 34, we got about 23 listens. I'm actually looking at the stats right now. Yeah, 24 listens and 7 downloads. And like I said, only a few people actually responded on the forums. But then episode 34, it says 28 listens, but not a single person who posted in the thread has actually heard the show. So that was kind of funny. One person on the thread was actually kind of funny. I mean, he was trying to be serious. I was just kind of laughing at him. He said that only the people from, because we were talking about MMA news. We're gonna go on a tangent really quickly. Forums such as MMA Crypt and MMA News. That means only stupid people. So I brought up our good buddy Johnny Hustle, who I think is one of the smartest posters over there on news, and that he listens to our show, and he was actually one of the first people to review us on iTunes and give us a 5-star, and he said that he learns a lot from the show. So I mentioned that in the thread. I was like, well, listen, you know, go check out, I put a link, and I said, go check us out on iTunes, besides one douchebag who gave us a 2-star review because I mentioned Smirnoff Ice on the show one time. He thought I was trying to sell it. And I think one or two other people gave us 4 stars. Everybody's giving us 5 stars. So this kid writes, I don't care. Your show sucks no matter how much you review yourself on iTunes yourself. First of all, that's not how iTunes works. You can only create one account, and it's not like I go around chasing people who have iPhones or you know, like an iPod Touch, and I tell them, give me your phone, give me your iPod, give me your iPad. I need to review myself on iTunes. And if I did that, I would not give myself 2-star ratings. So I think that was just completely a very humorous anecdote, so to speak.
I can't believe that many people listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, a good amount of people do listen to us, so I guess we must be doing something right.
I guess so. I wish they'd tell us what the hell it is.
Well,
I have no idea.
Well, the females still find my voice very, very hot. You, I guess it's your awesome voice acting abilities that you throw in here and there. What do you do? Well,
I have no idea. I've been sitting here trying to think of something I do well, and I have no clue.
You actually look up a lot of interesting information, a little useless info sometimes, but it's good. Statistics are very good.
So I know a couple more websites than you do.
Basically.
That's all I got going for me.
Hey, it's something to be proud of.
This is sad.
It'll be okay. And let's cheer you up. Let's jump into Japanese MMA, since I know you love Japanese MMA so much. We had Dream 15 over the weekend, and I doubt you actually stayed up and watched it. Did you?
No, man. I had a job. I got to work. I had to be to work at 8:30 the next morning. That wasn't happening.
Dude, if I had nothing better to do the next morning, I still will never, ever, ever stay up and watch Dream again, because you can DVR it, and that 5 hours that Dream is on will shrink down to about 2-2.5 hours if you just watch it, because they take a break in the middle of the show, and they have like a 45-minute-long intro, so it takes forever to see it all unless you have it on DVR and you're fast-forwarding. But I saw the next day, very interesting night of fights. We had Kazuhiro Nakamura from from UFC fighting Carl Amaso. He defeats him via decision after 2 rounds. We had Ishida fighting a guy named Hara. Same thing, decision. So a couple of the first fights went to decision. At this point, I definitely would have fallen asleep. Then we have Omegawa, who's an interesting up-and-comer. He's a featherweight. He defeats a Korean, Young Sam, via a pretty cool guillotine choke. And then we have a couple of bigger names for the next 4 fights. We have your favorite Dutch fighter. We have Melvin Manhoff fighting a guy named Mizuno. You said something very funny after Melvin Manhoff got submitted via Dekimura, even though he was kind of winning that first round, at least I thought, and then he gets submitted, which I thought was kind of funny.
He's been in the mixed martial arts for so long, you would think he would have found a ground game by accident by now.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, the guy literally has absolutely no ground game. He has some takedown defense. I'll give him some credit. But once he gets to the ground, if you're on top of him, you could just easily submit him without even like looking for a submission. You could just learn a submission game just by laying on top of him long enough. I think he even taps when he fights guys, when he doesn't fight guys, when he trains with those grappling dummies at the gym. I think somehow they get him and they get him to tap out.
Do you think like a guy could take Melvin down and then set up a TV and watch one of those jiu-jitsu instructional videos and as he's watching it, he can just do it?
So, yeah, he'll watch one of those Hoyce Gracie DVDs that, you know, that was the whole point of UFC back then. It was basically to sell Brazilian jiu-jitsu to the masses, and hey, it worked. And, yeah, so I think you could stand his guard long enough to actually learn jiu-jitsu while you're down there. I mean, the guy is very talented. He's got great kickboxing, but keeps falling to these submission guys. And Mizuno's not even a guy I'm very familiar with. And he still tapped him, so kind of it's getting a little ridiculous already. And this is actually the opening round of the light heavyweight Grand Prix. There's only four guys, so Melvin Manhoef is not advancing to the finals. And the next fight is also a light heavyweight Grand Prix opening round bout between Gegard Mousasi, the Moose, taking on Jake O'Brien. Now, as we mentioned in the last show, there's a lot of drama because maybe it was going to be Rico Rodriguez because Jake O'Brien couldn't make weight, and he was like 20-something pounds overweight, and then finally he got down to 212 pounds because Gegard didn't want to fight Rico Rodriguez, so they ended up still fighting Jake O'Brien. That was kind of funny. And how long was that fight? Did you see the fight? How long was it? It was
like about 15 seconds.
Yeah, basically, Jake O'Brien, it was funny, I was watching with a buddy of mine, we were watching all the fights at his crib the next day, and he's not a wrestler, he's not a jiu-jitsu guy, he's just an avid MMA fan, just like us, and it's funny, because I already heard the results, especially this one, so Jake O'Brien shoots him for a takedown, and Mousasi keeps stuffing, and he kind of gets him down for like a split second, Mousasi gets back to his feet, and a buddy of mine right away says, wow, if Jake is going to leave his neck in there, he's going to get, oh, never mind. And Gegard Mousasi pulls the guillotine choke at 31 seconds of the very first round.
Yeah, impressed? I mean, I'm not impressed. I mean, it's Jake O'Brien. Jake O'Brien came in out of shape. What was he, 16 pounds overweight or something ridiculous like that?
It was 26 pounds at the first weigh-in, and then he cut some more weight, and I guess he finally came in at 212 pounds. So he was still 7 pounds overweight, which is huge when you're cutting weight.
Yeah, and Mousasi isn't the biggest light heavyweight to begin with.
I don't think he cuts any weight to get to light heavyweight. I think he just comes in at 205, 206-ish.
I agree, yeah. I don't think he cuts much at all, if anything. But, I mean, Jake O'Brien came in out of shape, didn't seem like he trained at all. He left his neck out there, which, I mean, I'm not really a jiu-jitsu guy. You are, but isn't that kind of a rookie mistake?
It's not only a rookie mistake. One of the first things you should do, let's say I shoot a takedown. I'll shoot in for a double leg or a single leg. First of all, in jiu-jitsu, we don't concentrate on takedowns as much because, you know, pulling guard is a perfectly good way of getting the fight to the ground. Nowadays, of course, with the no-gi grappling, something I'm very interested in, there's obviously a lot more takedown attempts, so we do study a little bit of wrestling, at least for the shots. But what you're supposed to do, let's say you shoot in for a takedown, and a guy uses the guillotine as a defense, the first thing you do, you stop going for the takedown, and you try to create space and try to get out of the guillotine choke. I mean, while Gegard Mousasi already has the guillotine choke, Jake O'Brien is still going for the takedown, and then he just taps right away. He didn't try to fight it. He didn't try to counter it, nothing. He just straight up taps. So that was very sloppy, very unimpressive, and sucks for, I mean, O'Brien. I think he wasn't that bad in the UFC. I mean, he beat Heath Herring. That's about it. I mean, it's kind of impressive.
Well, I mean, not a lot of guys have beat Heath Herring.
No, it's not about, I mean, yeah, clearly a lot of guys did beat Heath Herring, but I think he's one of the most underrated fighters out there. He's been fighting for a very long time, and he's a handful for anybody he fights.
Yeah, I mean, when he comes in prepared, when he comes in, you know, on point.
Right, which doesn't happen every time. It happens like every other fight.
Exactly. I don't know. I just can't say much about that. You know, he didn't even, it looked like he didn't even really want to fight. He just wanted the paycheck. That's all.
And that seems to be the story with him very often. I think the same thing with in the Brock Lesnar fight. You know, he didn't seem very interested. Like, for example, when he fought Shai Kongo, I thought he was actually very interested in, like, fighting. You know what I'm saying? Shai Kongo, who I think has the coolest name ever, besides Ryan Darth Vader, you know, he's a very tough guy. And Keith Haring was able to beat him. Then he comes in to fight Brock Lesnar, and he's just like, all right, I'm just going to lay here and have a dry humping session with Brock and just pick up my 50 grand and go about my business, buy another Texas flag or, you know, like a hat or something. Don't even know what the hell he does with all his money.
I don't know. He's kind of trying to get into acting right now.
Yeah, he's doing a movie as we speak. Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm certain he's not doing it at 11 p.m. on the Monday night, on the Tuesday night, but you get the idea.
Yeah, so it's going to set up Musashi and this Japanese guy that nobody's ever heard of before this fight for the Dream light heavyweight title.
I think at this point, as sad as it is to say, I think the Strikeforce belts mean more than the Dream belt. At least they're light heavyweight ones.
Yeah, I agree. But speaking of the lightweight division.
The lightweight division, well, we had two fights that were very exciting. We had Josias JZ Calvacante taking on Katsunori Kikono. Now, you guys might remember Kikono, Bloodstain Lane. I don't know why I kept stuttering. It's a very easy name. Bloodstain Lane. And he mentioned that he's one of his favorite Japanese fighters at the moment. He's got a cool mummy stance. For those of you who haven't seen it, I'm going to post the video of this on the website probably. It's basically he stands like a mummy and just like waves his hands like slowly around. But as he showed in this fight, even though he's got that silly stance, he stands with his hands very open, he could do some damage. Josias JZ Cavalcante is a very skilled Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu fighter, and Kikona had him in trouble several times. It went to decision, and JZ wins via split decision. It was very controversial. I thought the fight was really a draw, but JZ gets the win. Good for him because he doesn't fight very actively. He keeps injuring his knee, kind of like Shogun. I think that's something that, you know, Brazilian fighters kind of tend to get injured a lot because you have, like, you know, Anderson Silva injuring his elbow and his wrist. Maybe they're just all Ed Soares talking. No idea. But Jay-Z's another one of those guys.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was a controversial fight. I'd like to see a rematch between the two of them, actually, but I think GZ, he just had the layoff, I think, hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't seem to really get into the rhythm. That's kind of what I didn't like.
Yeah, but maybe that win will set up a match with the winner of this next fight.
Oh, totally. This was one hell of a fight. The lightweight championship bout between... Who else could be a lightweight champion over there in Japan? Shinya Aoki taking on Tatsuya Kawajiri. Now, I thought Kawajiri had a shot. Did you think he had a shot going into this fight?
I did. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, it wasn't close at all. Shinya Aoki basically shoots in for a single leg. Kawajiri stuffs it. He drops in for a heel hook and then a knee bar. And then he rolled him into something else. And then one of those 10th planet jiu-jitsu moves that I've never seen. Meanwhile, Kawajiri's like foot stomping him in the face, and then he gets tapped about a minute into the first round. He's straight up, like, Kawajiri is going to be in the cast for a very long time.
Yeah, he busted that ankle up.
He should have tapped, but this goes to show you, I like Kawajiri, but he has always fallen short at his biggest fight. He fought Gomi for the lightweight Grand Prix in Pride in 2005, lost to Gomi. Then he fought Gilbert Melendez in 2008 or 2007, lost to him as well. Then in 2008, he fought Eddie Alvarez, also lost. And that was for the Dream Lightweight Grand Prix. And now he fights for the Dream Lightweight belt and once again falls short and falls to submission by Shinya Aoki. I mean, Shinya Aoki, he's... You know, people are saying that he's back and everything. I don't think he ever went anywhere. I just don't think he was himself in the Gilbert Melendez fight. But this was classic Aoki. Aoki did Aoki. He pulled an Aoki and submitted the guy.
I mean, he just latched onto his ankle and just wouldn't let go for nothing. A lot of guys might have let it go and tried to get a better position, but he just hung onto it, man. He's like a snake.
Yeah, man. He twisted it, like, left, right, up, down, whichever which way, and he got it. I mean, congrats to him.
And now he's wanting a rematch with Melendez.
And I would pay money to see that, as long as it's in Japan.
I mean, I would like to see it in a ring in Japan, too, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I mean, I don't think it's going to go any different than it did before.
No. Shane Aoki is going to submit him. You just watch and learn, young Padawan.
I'm older than you, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Okay, Jedi Master.
All right, that's better. But honestly, I want to see Melendez versus Jose...
Eddie Alvarez?
Eddie Alvarez, yeah. I want to see him against Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, well, in an ideal world, I'd rather much more rather watch that fight than Shane Aoki versus Gilbert Melendez, but it's Strike Force we're talking about. Need I remind you?
Yeah, but I mean, Eddie Alvarez, he's still got to defend his lightweight title here coming up. And then after that, maybe we can get a fight between him and Gilbert Melendez. All the parties seem to want it.
Yeah, I mean, I think every single MMA fan out there wants it, but like I said, it's Strike Force, so we don't know what's going to happen. And speaking of Strike Force, let's talk about their middleweight tournament. Oh wait, there is no middleweight tournament.
No, you can't have one night tournaments in Texas.
Yeah, but see, we talked about this before, and I think both you and I agreed that there's no way they're going to do a one night tournament, even though that's something we would like to see, because it's going to be reminiscent of the old school, you know, not only UFC but also Pride days. And but no, apparently they did want to do everything all in one shot, all in one event. And since they're not allowed to do that just about anywhere except Alabama, because there is no sort of authority, much less a state athletic commission over there, they would be able to do it. So now it's going to be Tim Kennedy versus Ronaldo Jacare de Souza for the middleweight belt. I'm at Strikeforce Houston in Houston, Texas, the August 21st. And it seems to be a pretty interesting card. I mean, we have KJ Nunes and George Gurgel. Then we have Sergey Karatanov versus Antonio Silva. I'm actually really surprised that Bigfoot Silva is fighting so soon. And then, of course, we have Tim Kennedy versus... We have actually a doubleheader in terms of championships. We have Tim Kennedy versus Ronaldo Jacare. And then we also have King Mo taking on Rafael Feijão Cavalcante. I mean, it looks like a pretty damn good card.
Yeah, but, I mean, Strikeforce will find a way to screw it up, I'm sure.
Did you guys hear the disappointment in Kevo's voice before the you know, we're even approaching the fight? It's so many weeks away. Kevo's already no, they're gonna screw it up.
They're gonna completely screw it up. I don't know, just some way.
King Mo comes in and ends up fighting KJ Nunes or something.
Exactly, like Feijão, he gets hurt and they gotta find somebody else to plug in.
Mike Whitehead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're talking right now about they want Fedor versus Overeem for the heavyweight title.
Yeah. Well, because didn't you hear? In Strikeforce, you have to be coming off a loss to get a shot at the title. At least at the heavyweight title.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Nope. And I mean, you know, I'm a huge Fedor fan. Everybody knows I'm a huge Fedor fan, but this is completely screwing with Verdum. I mean. What was even the point of having him fight Fedor? Like I said before, everybody said that if Fedor beats Verdum, like everybody planned on it happening, he's going to get a shot at Overeem. But nobody ever said that if Verdum was to win, which he did, that he would get a shot at Overeem. But that's the logical thing to do. I mean, completely disagree with this.
I mean, he's 3-0 in Strikeforce. Yeah, he choked out Fedor. He's got a... He holds a submission victory already over the champion.
Yeah. I mean, Antonio Silva, that was a very impressive beatdown that he put on him, even though, you know, Silva broke his hand in the first round. But still, you can't discredit any of his victories and the fact that he has a submission win over Overeem, and they don't give him a shot. I mean, I think that's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how it plays out.
I mean, it makes sense because Fedor does have that one fight left on his contract, so I guess they want him to kind of win the belt. Maybe they'll stick around, championship clause and all that.
Do they have a championship clause in his contract?
I have no idea. See, it's M1 Global and Strikeforce, so nobody really knows what the contract looks like. It probably says, if Fader loses, we're going to kill Scott Coker's children. But everybody brings up Jake Shields and how he was able to leave, but Strikeforce obtained Jake Shields' contract by through Elite XE. So it's not like they actually signed a contract with them. I'm pretty sure Strikeforce had something and had some type of clause that if Fader was to win the heavyweight belt, he would, you know, re-sign for 3 or 4 more fights. And I hope that's the case, because if Strikeforce gets another champion that just walks away from the promotion, it's over for them.
Yeah, I agree. We'll have to just see what happens, man. Who knows? Who knows what the hell these guys are going to do?
Yeah, next thing you know, they're just going to put up, like I've been saying, they're going to put up a male versus female fight. Cyborg Santos, Uriah Faber. Let's make that happen.
That would be interesting to see what happens. I mean, who are we kidding? Dude, Faber would kill her.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I can't, you know how I couldn't imagine Verdum beating Fedor? Well, this is like times infinity. There's no way in hell Cyborg Santos could beat Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber could literally just like walk up to her and she could be going apeshit on his face, and she still couldn't knock him out because he's got a big butt chin.
He would beat her all the way to a safe space.
I would have to agree with that one. Speaking of interesting matchups, you heard this one? So James Toney, and I know I can't get enough of James Toney, of course, he says that he will basically kill Couture, then he wants Brock because he's a bitch-ass, pussy-ass, punk-ass Brock Lesnar. And on top of that, he says that he would love to fight Dana White in the cage. So I must ask you, who do you have, Dana White or James Pony Toney?
Oh, Pony by a murder, death, kill. I really hope he doesn't beat Couture, man. If he beats Couture, it's going to be over. It's all going to be over.
This is going to be the theme until they actually fight. They're just going to like pray every single week that Tony loses, because it's, oh my god, I'm losing brain cells thinking about it. And we'll just leave it at that.
It really is ridiculous. I wish Tony would just go back. Honestly, I hope that Don King comes in with an injunction saying that Tony cannot fight. I think that would be best case scenario.
See, I looked this up, and unfortunately, Don King does not represent James Toney, but I'm going to find James Toney's manager and inform him of this and see what he actually says. Maybe, I mean, let's just hope he has one of those exclusive boxing contracts or some shit. I don't even know, man. Maybe we should just get James Toney in a car accident before the fight. That way he pulls out of the fight.
Busts up his ankle or something.
Yeah, nothing serious, nothing major. I mean, he is a human being after all.
But say Tony does beat Couture. Then what? Who do you put him in there against then?
Brock Lesnar or Dana White.
I have no idea, man. Somebody probably like I mean, you'd have to give him a good fighter at that point. I mean, you'd want to give him a name. Dude, he would kill Tito Ortiz.
Tito Ortiz is back, man. He's calling out Forrest. You know, let's get Tito in there to fight James Toney. You know, if Toney wins. Actually, I think if Toney loses and he wants another fight in the UFC, then have him fight Tito Ortiz, because Tito Ortiz is coming off a loss, and so will Toney. So how's that for a matchup?
God, I just want James Toney to go away. Just please go away.
Are you going to try to wish him away again?
I'm going to just wish with everything I have in my heart and just wish him away.
No, man, I think he's still around.
It didn't work at all.
Let me get my James Toney locator. Oh, he's at Baskin-Robbins. You ever seen that movie? I think it was called The Great White Hype. It's with one of the Wayans brothers. I think. I don't remember. It's a movie I've seen a long time ago. It's about a boxing champ who basically gets put in to fight a white guy who has a pretty decent record, but he's nowhere near, you know, the caliber of a champion or a contender. And the champion completely does not take the fight seriously. And what he does, leading into the fight, instead of going to training camp, he just sits around and he eats cake and hot dogs and he smokes cigarettes and cigars and comes in completely out of shape, and he still knocks out the contender. That's something I hope that doesn't happen with James Tony, because I really think, first of all, I don't think he's getting into shape whatsoever. I mean, we saw that picture like we put up on the site last week, and that was clearly photoshopped. And he doesn't have abs. He doesn't have a flat stomach. He's fat. Let's just face it. He's got titties.
Yeah, and, he's got a little bit of a muffin top.
Yeah, oh, muffin top is it's a little cute on the girl, maybe. She's got a beautiful face or something, but definitely not on James Toney. And cute and James Toney cannot even go in the same sentence. And but I'm actually like John said last on the last episode, he does have a puncher's chance, and he is a boxer. So keeping all my fingers, toes, hands, legs crossed, then Couture just comes out and completely just drives him, just picks him up, slams him into the ground, and just completely smothers him, and just gets a choke or gets Kimura, gets something. Because I don't want to think about what's going to happen if Tony wins.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last show with Johnny Hustle, Randy Couture could crab walk backwards across the octagon and take James Tony down without any trouble, and then go ahead and submit him or punch him in the face till the ref pulls you off of him. And there is nothing James Tony could do about that.
No, and as long as Couture does that, and like John said, he cannot for a split second think he's a boxer. I don't care how good his what does he use dirty boxing. Yeah, forget it. Have absolutely none of that. Just go in there and take him down and do your ground and pound or get a sub. Actually, I don't even want him to do ground and pound, because that means he's probably not going to be able to finish Tony, and then he's gonna get restarted on their feet in round two, and then Tony has another chance to knock him out. So I definitely don't want to see that. Any other wrestlers on your mind? Let's see. We got Rashad Evans talking about Shogun.
Yeah, he was absolutely talking about Shogun. He was talking about Machida, saying he wants no part of an interim title. If Shogun's going to come back in January, he's going to wait until January to get that title shot.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that might be possible. Because, let's see, we have Shogun saying basically that he's feeling healthy. He had all his surgeries, and that his physical therapy is going well. And I said this before. He kept saying that he's going to be back way sooner than March. And if he's ready to come back by January, more power to him. I'm going to be very, very stoked and very excited for Shogun. But at the same time, this is his third knee injury. I mean, do you remember what happened to Baz Rudin? Once he started having knee injuries, he retired. I really hope that's not going to be the case with Shogun, but for an athlete, your knees is just everything. And knee injuries, tearing your ACL, MCL, ACL meniscus, all that stuff is very, very bad. And but at the same time, Shogun sounds very optimistic, so I do hope he's back in January. And I hope he fights Rashad Evans. And Rampage versus Machida, to me at least, sounds like a very interesting fight. And Shogun versus Rashad sounds an interesting fight. You have a great striker versus a great grappler, wrestler. So I hope both of the fights happen.
Yeah, I just hope that Shogun doesn't come back too soon. I want him to come back 100%, get a full training camp in, make sure his cardio is top-notch.
Yeah, I don't want to see another Forrest Griffin.
Or against Coleman. I don't want to see that either.
Coleman wasn't that bad. Personally, I think. I mean, wasn't?
I mean, he should have killed Coleman in the first round, and he didn't do it.
He didn't do it, but see, at the same time, Coleman is a very tough motherfucker. That's just no
Coleman's
way.
Tough, no doubt, but it's Mark Coleman, a 40-something-year-old Mark Coleman, and it's Shogun.
Yeah, but you know what I give Shogun props for? Coleman kept taking him down, and he's a great powerhouse wrestler. And Shogun was getting out of it, and I give him props for that. And, I mean, yeah, I see where you're going with this. Clearly, he should have you should have completely destroyed him. And he was trying. I mean, Coleman is hard to knock out, though.
Yeah, I just, like I said, though, I just hope he comes back and 100%.
Yeah, so do I. And I think he needs to be 100% in order to take on Rashad.
Yeah, he's going to need to be 110% to stop Rashad from taking him down. Because if Rashad wants to, he'll just take him down and lay on top of him the entire fight.
I do not think that's going to happen against Shogun. Shogun's got an amazing jiu-jitsu that everybody forgets. But he used to train jiu-jitsu way before he trained Muay Thai. And look at his Muay Thai. I mean, and against Machida, and I know Rashad Evans is a much better wrestler than Machida is, he was getting up no problem. He kept using that sweep and got back to his feet 2 times. And everybody who thinks Rashad Evans is such a great wrestler, go look up his collegiate record. He was not that good. He was about 50-50. So, I mean, he was an average wrestler who just became a workhorse in MMA at Greg Jackson's. But all Greg Jackson's going to tell him to do is take Shogun down, take Shogun down, take Shogun down. If he cannot take him down, he has no plan B, and Shogun is going to knock him out.
Well, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about that one.
We definitely will. And, of course, we're also going to have a lot more time to talk about, actually, less time, but also still enough time to talk about Machida versus Rampage over there. So, overall, it's a great time to be an MMA fan, as always. We got anything else on our plate, or that's about it?
That's about it, man. Let's call the show.
Yeah, quick shout out to a couple of people. Let's see, who do we have here? quick shout out to King Steve over there on Twitter, who actually sent me the whole Zuffa dog and Japanese MMA article. And, since we were talking about Tito Ortiz, and everybody knows Chael Sonnen has been very vocal about his fight against Anderson Silva, unless you've been living under a rock or you're not an MMA fan, which is perfectly fine, except you're a loser.
And why are you listening to us?
Yeah, and I don't know how you would be listening to the podcast either, so everybody who's listening to the Knockout MMA Radio, you guys are cool. Matthew Kelly over there on Twitter, he said that he would love to see Tito versus Chael Sonnen. And they don't even necessarily have to fight. They just have to talk smack. I thought that was great. I think Chael Sonnen probably dethroned Tito Ortiz as the ultimate shit talker. What do you think?
I think at this point, I had Rampage up there at the top, though.
Even more so than Chael Sonnen, because Chael Sonnen will go on and like write blogs about how Anderson Silva is like A, B, C, and D.
He reminds me of a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whatever, you're not even that good. Whatever, I'm going to write a blog and talk about you. You know, I'm going to talk about your friends, how they're pieces of shit.
Yeah, the whole, him talking about Nogueira and, oh my
exactly.
God. And Machida, yeah, it's getting ridiculous. I really can't wait to see that card already. It's actually the next one after UFC versus 2. And I just can't wait until, you know, it's in the past and Chael goes back to talking about somebody else, because I really think he's a little too obsessive with this whole Anderson Silva thing. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/knockout. We finally got our page up. We have over 100 fans, so thank you everybody who's been joining. Always find us on Twitter at, once again, knockout. On just about every MMA forum out there, we are on there, or at least I am on there. And you guys can come in and tell us how much you hate the podcast. Do it tastefully, though, please. And you guys can find Kevo on Twitter. You're still at Knockout Kevo?
That is correct.
Are you getting the hang of it?
I'm trying. It's still a little intimidating.
Oh, God. All right, well, guys, tweet Kevo. You know, let him know how much you guys like the show. And hopefully he gets the hang of it by next show. I want to see him being like an expert. You hear that? I want you to tell me about Twitter.
I will find something out about Twitter that you did not know.
That's probably going to be pretty easy. I don't really know much Twitter, or about Twitter, rather. But once again, thank you guys for listening. This is episode 35. Wow, we're getting up there in numbers. Hopefully you guys liked it, enjoyed it. Check us out on iTunes, Zoom, Facebook, Twitter, any other social media site that, even if we're not a part of it just yet, we'll see you there. Thank you for listening. This is Arthur. Peace.
Peace. Later. See ya. Word out.